Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From the trip to tip to electric picnic, music festivals are part of the heartbeat of this time of the year. But the price of attending such events has increased dramatically since the days of Féile 90. Adam Maguire, way too young to have been at Féile 90, from the RTE Business Desk is with me in the studio to go through some of the figures that are involved here. How much money are you going to have to spend to get to one of these events now?
Yeah, a decent amount. You know, if you look at Altogether Now, which is this weekend, €250 for a ticket there. Longitude, which was a couple of weeks back, €200. No camping available at that. So you go and you come back and so on. Electric picnic tickets are closer to €300, sold out now, obviously. So not cheap. And if you're talking about a couple or maybe even a family, a lot of people will bring kids with them. You also need to factor in your transport costs, your food and drink while you're there as well. You know, you could very quickly be getting into, you know, foreign holiday territory in terms of the amount of money you need to spend. And that's if you only want to go to one. If you want to go to multiple ones, which a lot of people will for obvious reasons, it obviously multiplies from there.
I'm going to have a little bit of an old man moment here. I hitchhiked to Thurles for the first trip to Tip with a tenner in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I had booked a space in a friend's tent. And that was it. Yeah. Mind you, now pints were £1 back then. So a tenner actually went quite a long way. But we add an awful lot of expense to these things ourselves.
Yeah, we really do. You know, we have to admit that we're part of the problem here because, you know, really consumer tastes and expectations have changed since the 90s and especially since like Listen Varna in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, they might be the stuff of legend now, but, you know, the lineups for a start, you know, they were very heavily local lineups. Listen Varna was all Irish, kind of trad acts. Féile, the first one in 1990. Meatloaf was kind of the only kind of international big name. And nothing wrong with that. But of course, nowadays we expect you have a couple of global kind of superstars on there. And some of them might be Irish. You look at Altogether Now this weekend, you have CMAT, you have Fontaines DC, Electric Picnic has Hozier as well. But you also will expect to have, you know, your Chapel Roans and your Tyler the Creator and all that kind of stuff too. And they cost a bit more money to secure, basically. We also expect more in terms of the staging and in terms of the sound. You know, we want it to sound decent. You're not going to go there expecting the best sound ever, but you want to be able to hear it relatively well. People also expect multiple stages now at festivals. Comedy tents, chill out zones, you know, wellness areas. I was listening to the ad for Altogether Now and they spoke about it being a food, wellness and arts festival. Like, so it's not just a music show anymore.
I'm being very restrained here, aren't I? I really admire the way that I'm sitting on my hands. How much of this cost is down to insurance as well, though, Adam?
Yeah.
And how much does the nature of the musical acts that are playing determine the policy price?
Interestingly, it does have an impact. Yeah, like Peter Aiken in 2023 from Aiken Promotions was blaming insurance costs for the reason why Bruce Springsteen tickets in the RDS were so much more expensive than others. He said, gave an example, Ed Sheeran's gigs in Cork had cost €65,000 to insure. They were just €1,500 for his shows in Belfast. Rod Stewart, it was £200 in Belfast. The Dublin shows were €10,000. Now, I did look into this and I was told basically insurance actually isn't that big of a deal. Like generally, you know, you're talking about how many tickets are sold for, you know, public liability insurance. It's probably cents per person. And in the context of tens of thousands of euro in a payout, if someone breaks their arm or leg, it's relatively cheap. You know, even if you take Peter
Aiken.
I
would love to be the actuary, though, who sits there and is comparing an Ed Sheeran fan to a Rod Stewart fan and deciding how dangerous they are.
The interesting thing, like, so I was, Jane Brady from Brady Insurance, who specialised in this kind of area, was talking me through some of the factors. Because, like, it's not like car or home insurance where you have a huge pool of data that you can draw on to kind of work out the risk factors. But she was saying two of the big things. One is the number of people that are going to be attending. So it's kind of a per head basis. The other thing is it a fixed venue, you know, like a purpose-built arena or concert hall?
Or is it a
or
field?
Or is it a field? And obviously that has a huge impact because then you're talking about, do you have the right, you know, lighting? Do you have enough toilet facilities? Do you have walkways? Do you have all that kind of stuff that you have to factor into?
And beyond that, she can only bring her prejudices about Ed Sheeran versus Rod Stewart.
Well, she said yeah, like, interestingly, and it's not something she necessarily agrees with, they will take different types of music into account in terms of their working out the figures. So, you know, if you have a festival that might be kind of more, we'll say, a lively genre, you know, so you're talking like metal or EDM, where the crowd might kind of get a bit more whipped up, that's different to, say, a choral music festival where you can be fairly sure there won't be people getting injured in the mosh pit, for example.
Spare a thought for the promoter here as well, because to a very large extent, I would imagine, they have to do a sort of a build it and they will come. Announce that the gig is happening, yeah, and then you'll fill the ticket over the course, yeah, of the next 12 months.
You know, there are some festivals like Electric Picnic that will sell out without even announcing the lineup because it just has that reputation. But there are a lot of, especially the newer festivals, they don't have that reputation, and they have to lock in their acts probably a year in advance. They have to start selling tickets. They have to start paying for equipment and for crew and all that well in advance before they even know how many tickets they're going to sell.
And there was one festival that had an economic wobble recently because it just, the maths wasn't adding,
yeah,
up.
Yeah, the cash flow is an issue. Now you can get kind of cancellation insurance, but that wouldn't cover cash flow issues. So that's more, you had to cancel because of adverse weather or your act doesn't turn up, you can get some money back on that. But if you're expecting,
not that you fail to book them,
like that, the cash flow is a big issue. And this is part of the reason why, and something people moan about, is how kind of commercial festivals have become and that it's branded left, right and centre. But they're very important because they get on board as sponsors early on. They give cash early on, which allow the promoter to put together the festival and kind of commit to an act, commit to all the facilities before the tickets are sold.
At the same time, though, we all went to see Intuanua and something happens and we were all very happy after, yeah, our one pint.
The other thing you have to remember as well is that the laws have changed a lot as well. You can't just kind of pick a field and, you know, sell tickets to it and kind of make a makeshift stage. You have to kind of follow lots of regulations. Understandably, health and safety concerns. The stage has to be built to a very high standard.
Oh, Adam
for
McGuire.
All very good reasons, and that all obviously adds
you
expense too.
You are such a buzzkill.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
You very much for joining us.